We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is the First in Football Podcast, your behind-the-scenes look at Princeton Tigers football. Here's your host, Cody Kruschel.
35-yard attempt with 16 seconds left to try to break the 28-all deadlock. Jeffrey Sexton, a freshman from Louisville, Kentucky, puts the right foot into it, end-over-end kick. Does it have enough? Yes, it does! Complete to Moore. He laterals to Green, back to Musket, who throws it back across his body, right hash. That's Fari. He's up across the 50. Ball pops free down at the Princeton 40. Rolls out of bounds, and the ball game comes to an end. Princeton hangs on. Tigers 31, Monmouth 28. Princeton survives to go to 4-0.
It's the Week 5 edition of the First in Football Podcast. The Princeton Tigers 4-0 after Saturday's come-from-behind 31-28 win at Monmouth on the road. The Tigers up to 20th in the FCS coaches poll. And on that note, we welcome in Princeton's head coach, Bob Cerace. Coach, 28-28 game. You bring Jeffrey Sexton on. Really tough day to kick. Lines it up from 35 yards out. Did you think it was good?
Yeah, you can't really tell from our angle, and I'm watching the reaction of the offense of the, you know, the field goal team, and to see if they're celebrating or not. And I think in those conditions, they weren't sure immediately. Usually, you know, right away. And then I see Caden, you know, Dumas going into a celebration, and I felt pretty good once that happened.
The official physical therapy partner of Princeton Athletics, JAG1 Physical Therapy, is proud to serve as your trusted in-network resource for physical and occupational therapy services. Visit them at JAG1PT.com to get back to the life you love. We'll talk about your freshman kicker, Jeffrey Sexton, and some of his heroics a little bit later on. I want to go back a little bit earlier in the game, 28-28. You guys take over deep in your own territory, just under 3 minutes to go. Quickly, it turns into fourth and one. You're at your own 34. On one hand, you have three timeouts. You've got one of the best punters in the Ivy League. You have statistically coming into the day the best defense in the country. On the other hand, you've got Colin Edie, and Monmouth had put together some long possessions on Saturday. Take us through that decision to go for it and give it to Colin Edie on fourth and one.
Yeah, and, you know, the series before, I... You know, there was a timeout by Monmouth. We're running, you know, down to, you know, under 3 minutes. and the offense call it makes a play call, but during the timeout, I change it. And, you know, not my brightest moment and best moment as a coach to, you know, run a bootleg rolling left into that wind. And I put Cole in a terrible position and just was not a really smart thing to do. And so, you know, I go over to let him know it's my fault. Like, I did not give him the best opportunity there. He's already rallied the offense and has them huddled up. It's just tremendous leadership on his part. And then we get to the fourth and one, and my dad, who's a Hall of Fame high school coach, he thought I was doubling down on stupid, I think. But, you know, a lot, you know, you talk about analytics, and, you know, we like most teams, you know, spend time on analytics. I have a sheet during the game when we should go for it on different field positions. I have a coach who stands next to me and lets me know, given the time, the score, what we should do. So when we started that drive, it was one or less. So analytics is one thing. I know people have different feelings on it, but I look at it as information, right? So the information was the analytics said you should go for it in terms of that. And when you start a series, these are the process, the thoughts. And I'm going to take a little time on this to go through a coach's mindset on that. We'd gone for it in other short yardages and got it during the game. Every goal line run, we had gained yards. I thought we had done a great job up to that point. So there's a lot of trust and confidence in us getting it from that standpoint. The wind was a factor. And we have a great punter. Will Powers is one of the best punters in the country at any level. But he gets the ball high up in the air. What was normally 45, 50-yard punts are going to be 25 to 30 yards. We're not going to gain a whole lot from that as well. And so it's no different. The information, everybody probably listening that's above the age of 17 has gone through trying to buy a car. You don't just go and find the shiny car. I guess some people do, but, you know, you don't react emotionally and just, you know, do that. You get information on what you want and what car fits your needs and make a decision that's best for you. And then the other part of the factor in that equation is our defense played lights out from the first series of the third quarter on. And so in those conditions with a swirling wind, a deeper kick was, you know, you're going to have the leg strength to do it with the wind, but it's still swirling. It's not going to be an easy kick the way our defense was playing if we could, you know, hold them back there. And if we did that and he made it, there's still time on the clock. We would use our timeout. So there's a lot of information that goes into it, but all of it leads to going for it in that situation. There wasn't, you know, hesitation on that.
What did the final two drives tell you about Cole Smith? Because it's, you know, Princeton has a one-score lead, 3 minutes to go. He throws a pick six. When you guys had the ball and you had the lead and you could have gotten a couple of first downs, he comes back out, he completes four passes, engineers a 13-play drive to give you and Jeffrey Sexton a chance, and played a big part in helping put Sexton in a position to kick that field goal.
Yeah, it didn't tell me anything I didn't know about Cole. You know, the one thing that it told me was, you know, I didn't put him in a great position. You know, this isn't on anybody but me to make that call. And you kick yourself. And in the course of a year, you don't make every decision correctly. But my not having to go down and inspire the offense, him already taking that leadership role and letting them know they're going down the field and scoring, made me feel really good about our opportunities that drive. And, you know, Cole threw it well. There were some great catches. Dylan Classy makes a incredible catch on a fourth and six. Throughout the game, we competed that way. I know we gave up sacks. A lot of them, we did not have enough blockers to pick up guys. They weren't on the offensive line except for one of them. And the number of times we threw, I thought our protection was magnificent.
Was Saturday the challenge you expected it to be?
Yeah, I had no doubt that you know, Monmouth, as I said, they got everybody back from the same team that was the best threat to winning the national champion, you know, beating the national champion last year. And I've said it all along. Every week from here on out, starting Columbia, is going to be every team. You know, this isn't a Brown team that's young. This is a Brown team where every starter but one's a junior or a senior in their offense and defense. And that's the way the league is with this COVID year. And, you know, Monmouth had every guy that played in that national championship game back. Columbia, veteran team. You know, so while everybody's looking at our roster and saying, oh, we got all these guys, everybody has all those guys. So the little details make such a big difference in, you know, in games that are going to come down to a play or two.
I want to talk about a couple of players. Let's start with your freshman kicker, Jeffrey Sexton, a career-long field goal at the end of the first half, 46 yards to not really give you guys momentum, but give you a fighting chance coming out of the locker room, and then that 35-yard field goal into that gusting, swirling wind. Kicker was a question mark coming in just because you graduated your starter there, Tavish Rice. Jeffrey's been as good as you can be at that position. He missed his first extra point, first career game a month ago at Lehigh, and has not missed since.
Yeah, no, it was not an easy day for any of the specialists, anybody throwing the ball and doing those type things. The wind's a factor, and it's the factor for both teams. It wasn't like we were the only team kicking, punting, throwing. It's a factor for both teams. And it wasn't just, you know, the field goals, which are very visible. He had to kick off against the wind a number of times, and they either fair caught it or returned it, and we made a tackle inside the 25. And we forced a fumble as well on one of his kickoffs. I thought our special teams units in general played well. Obviously, losing Tavish, there's competition. We got tremendous kickers battling it out. He's worked his tail off. He's done very well. You know, nothing seems to bother him. You know, you don't have to give him the old, hey, go out there and, you know, you're tight. He's got a great look in his eye, you know, when he goes out there and you feel really good about him. It's not an easy position. It's not an easy long snap. It's not an easy hold. And it's certainly not an easy kick. And, you know, all of them executed it perfectly.
Our player guest this week is Jacob Bermelin. He's been your team's leader from a catch standpoint each of the first 4 weeks. He's the Ivy League's leading receiver, 88 yards per game. I think I've been most impressed with his route running and just his ability to get open.
Yeah, he practices with so much energy. I know Brian Flynn said it. Like, if anything, I got to pull him back a little bit because he'll run every single play, and he does it at it's such a high tempo, and he gives you the same energy. And I really feel he and, you know, Dylan and Andre and Axelrod, like all these guys at receiver, they bring this energy to practice every day. And it's similar in Berm's case to like a John Lovett. Like, no matter how sore you are or midterms or all the excuses you can make, when you see Berm running, you know you got to run as well. He forces everybody on the team to lift their game, and it's such great leadership.
You played Saturday without your starting middle linebacker, James Johnson. Joe Bonchek got the start. He played well, 5 tackles, your third leading tackler. What's the challenge, though, mainly from a communication standpoint, playing without your starter at that position and having to kind of shuffle the deck a little bit?
Yeah, the fortunate thing is we have enough depth.
Depth at linebacker has never been an issue for you guys.
Yeah, it's not been an issue. We have such depth that we're leaving some linebackers home when you can only travel 62 that would be starting, you know, in years that I've been here. That's how good they are. And so, you know, we felt, you know, Jimmy could have played, but he wouldn't have been at the level that we're used to seeing, and that by just giving him a little more time, you know, he'll get back to being the player that we know he is. And we have such great confidence in Joe Bonchak. And, I think Bonchak, Corbin, Beagle, Tyler McDonald, those guys played so well. And Daniel Beard stepped up as, you know, a bigger voice. And this is, you know, a bunch of weeks in a row where Beard is just making plays.
Let's focus on this Saturday. You're 4-0. You're looking to go to 5-0. And from this point forward, nothing but Ivy League games on the slate. You know, you talked about it. And a lot of times coaches say, hey, there's no easy game on the schedule. Brown, they're 1-3, but it's on the road. And you look at this 1-3. They're coming off their first win. It's the best they've played. They forced 3 turnovers in a 31-10 win against Colgate this weekend. 1 point loss to Bryant, or a 1 score loss to Bryant. 1 point loss in the season opener against a Rhode Island team that's ranked in the top 15 this week. This is a team that's 1-3. If they get a couple breaks, they could be 3-1. And then, oh yeah, they have James Perry coaching and EJ Perry at quarterback.
Yeah, no, they played a tough schedule, no doubt. And, you know, James, it goes beyond friendship. When you work with a guy for 6 years and what he's done and how we build our program, you know, you cherish that and cherish those memories, and our families are so tight. And he gets so much credit, and deservedly so, for being a creative coach. But man, at his heart, it's just being a good football coach, and just the physicality, the toughness, the little things that go into being precise on a field. I've been around a lot of NFL coaches and great coaches. He's as good as anybody I've ever been around, and his leadership. And, you know, EJ Perry's going to go down as one of the all-time great players in this league. You know, such a competitor, in addition to all the brilliance you see in his ability to throw and run and do that. But the competitiveness, the things you see on the video, just when something goes well or not well, his hustle, his leadership, and, you know, he's playing at an incredibly high level. James has certainly upped the talent there. There's no doubt he was going to do that. And the one thing about James is, when he was here, our guys got better every day. When I say our guys, it wasn't just the offense. He pushed the defensive guys to get better. He pushed us as coaches. We all learned, and we all kind of group thought. But, you know, you're seeing that at Brown. Every day they're getting better. Their defense is playing, you know, way better than some of the stats, Jay. You know, they've improved their pass rush, their situational football. They are a physical team that way. I said it to our special teams coordinator. They've made a huge jump from 2018 in their special teams to now 2021. You know, and that's just the quality of recruits that James has brought in, but more importantly, how they're developing them, and that's where it shows up. So, you know, this year is going to be, you know, every week you're going into it, you know, it's going to be a battle, a dogfight. And, you know, anytime you line up across from James, you know how competitive he is as a coach. He challenges you to be the best version of yourself.
EJ Perry, 2 years ago, not only their top passer, but he was Brown's top rusher, rushed for almost 800 yards back in 2019. How do you guys try to simulate that with your scout team? How do you prepare to play against someone like that?
Yeah, no, he is, you know, as I said, how competitive he is, how athletic he is, how well he throws it. You know, he's one of the, if not the best pro talent in the country. He's one of them, you know, that way. I imagine it's a lot like, and I was in Cincinnati when Ryan Fitzpatrick was there. I imagine it's a lot like when Ryan was here, was at Harvard playing in the Ivy League, that his ability to throw and run, you know, really challenges you. And the key is you've got to be disciplined. If you are out of a gap at any point, or your eyes are in the wrong spot, you know, you know, they'll make you pay. And it's not just EJ's running or throwing. It's a receiver, the different things they're doing. They really challenge your discipline. And that's an area we're going to be challenged, and we're going to see if we're up to the challenge.
It's a 12:30 kickoff this Saturday up in Providence at Brown Stadium. 4-0 Princeton, looking to go to 5-0 as they get into the heart of Ivy League play. Our player guest, Jacob Bermelin, we know that he's a senior, good route runner, leading receiver for your team, leader in receiving yards in the Ivy League. What's something that maybe we don't know about Jake?
I don't know. As I said earlier, his practice habits are among the best I've ever been around. And I do think this, you know, Jake is not going to win a contest in height, but I think he has a little chip on his shoulder. You know, he knows that he's not that big, rangy receiver, but he uses that to his advantage in terms of his getting in and out of his cuts, his breaks, all those things. But he is a tremendous young man and leader, and, you know, you love coaching guys like him.
Coach, appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Cody.
It's Princeton head coach Bob Sorace back after this with senior wide receiver Jacob Bermelin when we return on the First in Football podcast.
Iron Workers Local Union Number 399 are the people who build and improve the amazing landmark facilities on the Princeton University campus. From new athletic venues to world-class dormitories, our qualified journeymen, iron workers, and apprentices proudly create great projects throughout Central and Southern New Jersey. Our highly trained members promote a positive and safe worksite environment and showcase an exceptional work ethic, just like your Princeton athletes. Go Tigers!
Our friends at First Bank pride themselves on being a true community bank. They know the importance of businesses to their communities. When times became tough, First Bank jumped in to help. They helped many local businesses get PPP loans when big banks couldn't come through and contributed donations to organizations dedicated to helping our communities. You want your bank to be there for you when you need it, and First Bank employees are always ready to lend a helping hand. So I encourage you to give them a call at 609-587-3111 or visit their branch in Lawrenceville, just a short drive away from Princeton's campus. First Bank is an equal opportunity lender and member FDIC.
Over the middle, wide open, Bermelin steps over a defender still on his feet. Inside the 10 and into the end zone for the touchdown from 42 yards out.
Wrapping things up on the Week 5 edition of the First in Football podcast, we're joined by the Ivy League's leading receiver through four games, a senior from Royal Palm Beach, Florida, Jacob Bermelin. Jake, welcome.
Cody, thanks for having me.
What's it been like? Let's kind of start big picture. What's it been like being back out on the field after the Ivy League didn't play in 2020 and you decided, hey, I'm going to take the gap year and come back?
It's been fantastic. I mean, it's just good to be back with all of my teammates again. Good to see the coaches again. And good to be working again. You know, just being able to be on the field with everybody definitely was, you know, it's exactly what we took the year off for, was to be together again and to play football again. So, up till now, it's been everything I've dreamed of, and everything looks like it's going, you know, the right way. So it's been wonderful.
Now that you're back, you know, everyone we've talked to who took the gap year, they said, yeah, you know, really easy decision, didn't have to think about it, which is easy to say now when you're back and you guys are 4-0. How tough was that decision, and how much were you weighing your options?
So I really think that they, you know, said it spot on. I mean, as soon as I received the news, you know, we were all behind our computers at the time, you know, all separate across the country. And, you know, when we did get that news, I know that I, you know, didn't have any second thoughts of, you know, what our, you know, plan of action was. And, you know, to, you know, see that was reciprocated by everybody almost immediately, we, you know, headed into our group chat. And, you know, obviously we were, you know, distraught at the, you know, at the news, but everybody was pretty much on the same page. You know, we still had that goal. We still wanted to win a ring. And we still wanted to play together. So for me, it wasn't a very tough decision. It was tough taking the year off, and, you know, there was a lot of sacrifice that went into that. But, you know, it's all worth it, especially now being back. I can say that, you know, without any hesitation.
Let's go back to Saturday. You guys pull out a 31-28 win at Monmouth. The final drive, so you guys give up the interception for the touchdown. Final drive, you come in 28-all. What's going on in the huddle at the start of that eventually 13-play drive that ended with the Jeffrey Sexton field goal?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of go back to how John Lovett came in and talked to us a couple weeks before, and he kind of talked about moments like this. You know, you're in the huddle, you know, it's a game-winning drive, game-tying drive at the time. You know, he said just don't blink is what he said, and I think what that means is, you know, have faith in your teammates, have faith in yourself, have faith in the game plan that the coaches gave you. And, you know, I looked around in the huddle and nobody blinked. You know, Cole did an amazing job of bouncing back from that interception. He definitely didn't blink. You know, he came back and he was throwing the ball really well, making all the right reads, and receivers were getting open, offense was blocking, you know, tremendously. So nobody blinked. And that's, I think, was what was important. I think we saw our heart right there on that drive. And I think that everybody was on the same page and everybody wanted to go win that football game and were willing to do whatever it took to win that game. So
what did you see from where you were standing on the game-winning field goal? When did you know it was good?
I knew it was good right when he approached it, honestly. I was actually with Sam Wright on the sideline. We were both holding hands, you know, watching Jeff go up and take his approach. And actually right before, and he could attest to this, right before he went up and kicked it when the ball was snapped, I told him this is going in. And sure enough, it sailed in the wind, and there were pretty tough wind conditions. So it almost looked like at a point in time when it reached its peak that it was going to stop moving forward and almost come backwards. So that was pretty weird to see when that was happening. But, you know, I had faith in him. He's been absolutely wonderful for us this year. So I was pretty calm on the sideline.
RWJ Barnabas Health is the official healthcare system of Princeton Athletics. To learn more about services in your area, visit rwjbh.org. Let's be healthy together. You talked about Cole Smith leading that 13-play drive that led to the game-winning field goal. Seems like you and Cole have a pretty good rapport, and you know he's only started four games, but it seems like from the first drive at Lehigh, you guys were on the same page.
Absolutely. It's been a product of 5 years of working together. So, he came in class of 2021 just like me, took the year off just like me, and, you know, we've just had so many chances to work on our timing throughout the years. And we've done definitely more of that now this year as he's the starter. So, it's just kind of refining and perfecting what we've built so far. And we're great friends off the field too. So we talk about, all the things that we could have done better at practice, after practice and all those things. So it's definitely good to see that, all our hard work is, starting to shine a little bit this year.
How and where did you spend the year off?
A couple different places, actually. I was home for a while in South Florida, and then I actually live with DeLon, Trevor Forbes, Matthew Winston, Jeremiah Tyler, Sean Chambers, who's a graduate now, Austin Carbone, up in Dallas, Texas, and that was for the months of October through December. And we were getting work on the field and just hanging out and having a good time, and we were all in our internships too, so that was fun. And then I went back home for a little bit. I think from January, maybe February, I went back up in March to Nashville with those guys and kind of did the same exact thing, really got into working on the field and working out hard. So starting to prep for season, I was kind of all over the place. And then I went back home and then came up for school.
We were talking to your head coach, Bob Sorace, earlier in the podcast, and obviously Brown coming up, James Perry, someone that you guys know pretty well from his 6 years at Princeton as the offensive coordinator. And Coach Sorace was talking about, didn't only make the quarterbacks and the offense better. Going up against an offense like that made the defense better. Go back to that, iron sharpens iron. I've got to imagine you got better training against DeLon Stallworth, Jeremiah Tyler, Matthew Winston. Come with some of the names that you just rattled off.
Absolutely. Just working with those guys that are all Ivy or soon to be all Ivy, just kind of gave me the confidence and the faith that I was doing the right things during that time off. Every time we hit the field, it was, we were out to beat each other. There was no other opponent at the time. So my opponent was DeLon Stallworth, who's an all Ivy corner. And, John Tracy was our quarterback while we were in Nashville. And, every time we went out on the field, it was, it felt like we were playing a game. We were having a great time doing it, obviously, but we were there to work and there to get better. So those guys definitely prepared me very well.
Let's go back a few years. I know you took the gap year, so it's been 5 or 6 years, but let's go back to the recruiting process. How did you end up at Princeton and what made this the right fit?
So it was a little bit of a wild ride, actually. I actually didn't know of Princeton up until, I want to say, I took a, camp tour around my junior year summer going into my senior year, if I remember correctly. And, me and my father basically drove up and down the East Coast just finding different camps to go to. And, he had some sort of itinerary planned out. It was truly awesome to see the effort that he put in on his side. And, he drove me around up and down the East Coast. And Princeton was just one of those places, one of those camps that we ended up at. And, I had a good camp. I talked to Coach Goldman after, who was the receiver coach at the time. And, he showed interest in me, and I told him, look, this is exactly where I want to be if that can happen. So, I wasn't super highly recruited coming out of high school. I had a couple different offers, some in the Patriot League. And, but I knew immediately that, Princeton was my best offer. And then once I got the Princeton offer, I, didn't really spend much time shopping around or anything. So definitely was happy, with what I had.
5'9", 170, so never the biggest guy on the field, but you're the Ivy League's top receiver, 88 yards a game through four games. So you've carved out that niche. You've obviously worked really hard to get to where you are. At what point in your career did you sort of embrace, hey, I'm a little undersized, I'm the slot guy, there's things with that that I can use to my advantage.
Absolutely. I've kind of just had to accept the fact that I am not going to have a growth spurt, you know. And
you're not, you know, you're not right. Jesper and Steven Carlson. And
they're not throwing me fade balls in the end zone, you know. So and that's totally okay because, you know, I do most of my work between the hashes, finding the open spot on the defense, using my quickness to my advantage, and, you know, just finding those spaces that, you know, where Cole can find me and, you know, get these little dink and dunk passes and, you know, hopefully turn one or two of them into big plays. So, and I take a lot of pride in that. That's something I really love to do for this offense and, you know, extend drives, you know, third down completions. That's something that I absolutely love doing.
As far as getting out in open space, you know, we talked about it, just, you know, the thing that's really stood out has been your route running and the fact that you're covered, and then all of a sudden you have a few yards of separation. What sort of a piece of advice for a young wide receiver that you picked up along the way that's helped you create some space?
One thing that I use a lot during the games is something that I call and I've learned as route disguise. So if there are certain tendencies that I'll run, certain routes that I'll run a lot, I'll try to make, you know, the most out of that tendency and kind of try to show the DB that I'm going to run that way or do the same thing that I did maybe a couple plays before. And then at the last second, you know, split the other way. That's something that I use a lot. And, you know, whether that be a corner route turning into a post route or a post turning into a corner or a curl or anything, I really try to use it all the time. And it's just kind of like a little game of trickery, you know, on the field. So that's one thing for sure.
You mentioned academically you're a political economy major and you're working on your thesis now. Tell us a little bit about that.
So right now, you know, I'm blessed to have a thesis advisor that really understands that I'm in season. And I'm also, you know, taking classes and, you know, time is kind of constrained right now. So right now we're still in the beginning phases of that, but we're looking to extend my junior paper, which was how climate change impacts young voter turnout. Which is something that I'm pretty passionate about. And, you know, I'm working with her, Professor Kirkland in the politics department, to just try to extend that, you know, any way we can and kind of build off that. So it's been exciting, and I'm definitely looking forward to continue working on the same topic.
Brown this weekend, it's an Ivy League contest. It's a game where you had a big performance a couple of years ago, 12 catches, 186 yards. I think you had 176 yards at halftime last time you guys were up there. It's a tough Brown team. We know what they can do offensively. Give us the scouting report on the Brown defense.
The Brown defense has a lot of coverages that they use. So going into a drive, we're definitely going to rely on Coach Willis, Coach Flynn, Coach Rosie, and the offensive staff to give us, you know, the rundown on their tendencies and how to expose them. Their offense scores points in bunches. You know, they love to throw the ball and they love to score points and they're good at doing it. So we're all going to have to be on our A game. And, you know, yeah, last year it was a good year or a good game for us. Everybody was doing the right things. And I think we really made a turning point in that game. And looking back at Monmouth, you know, we had some things that we definitely can clean up, some mistakes, some pre-snap mistakes, and some, you know, during the play mistakes. So we're going to focus on that, get better at that. And, you know, when we do that, when we fix those things this week in practice, I think, you know, good things will happen.
Jake, good luck.
Thank you, Cody.
So it'll be Princeton at Brown this weekend. The Tigers 4-0, ranked 20th this week in the FCS coaches poll, taking on a Brown team 1-3 coming off their best performance of the season, a win last week against Colgate out of the Patriot League. Kickoff is 12:30 from Providence at Brown Stadium. You can watch the game on ESPN+, part of the Ivy League on ESPN, or you can listen across the Princeton Sports Network by downloading the Varsity Network app or going to goprincetontigers.com/watch. We'll be on the air
That'll
for
do
Providence
it for the week
at
four
noon
edition
Saturday.
Of the First in
Thanks
Football
as always
podcast.
To our guests,
Princeton wrapping up non-league play this
Jacob
Saturday
Berman.
Afternoon.
Until next week,
Monmouth
I'm Cody Cruchel saying thank you for listening to the
Tigers
First in
are seeking
Football
their
podcast.
13th consecutive non-league victory.
You can watch on ESPN+, where you can listen on the Princeton Sports Network by downloading the Varsity Network app or going to goprincetontigers.com/watch.
Tigers and the Hawks have only met one time before. It was a 51-9 Tigers win week four of the 2018 season. And we know how that year ended. 10-0, the undefeated Ivy League champs. Thanks to our guests Bob Zarace, senior cornerback DeLon Stallworth, and co-defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach E.J. Henderson. My name's Cody Gruchel saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Thursday for another edition of the First in Football podcast.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.